Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I go back to what I said, and I stand by what I said. I know a lot of people have pushed back on it, but I think taking Marjorie Taylor Greene out of the Education and Labor Committee, because as my son always said, it's not that she's useless. She serves as a bad example, and I completely agree with that frame. You want that bad example to go, you know, we need more education funding. Look at this, Exhibit A. But now they've given her a lot of time, and evidently she is launching a new caucus. The America First Caucus. Real creative there, MTG. Evidently going to bring together some of the crazy right-wing folks like her. Common respect for uniquely Anglo-Saxon political traditions, evidently, according to the flyer. Against mass immigration, it poses a threat to the long-term existential future of America. As a unique country with a unique culture and unique identity. What the hell is she talking about? But the weirdest part, Matt Gaetz, first one online to join up, tweeted out today, I'm proud to join Marjorie Taylor Greene in the America First Caucus. Yeah, good job there. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the big America First Caucus and what is uniquely what unique country, culture, and identity is she talking about? I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come back and share some thoughts. Scott is the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, also host of the wonderful Dworkin Report. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
America First Caucus, Scott. America First!
I mean, it's like a white caucus. I mean, I don't know what they're trying to prove, but I hate making the comparison, but sometimes you need to. I mean, it reminds me of Hitler, like that is the language that they use. That is what they're framing it around. And they're intentionally trying to gaslight people and piss people off about it. And it's just disgusting. And so, you know, good luck to winning anything with this caucus while it exists. You know, it's worse than the Freedom Caucus. And it's just, it really is going to be a gang of people that are unqualified and unfit for Congress.
Do you think it'll be a gang? Because I was kind of thinking it's going to be like the anti-bone marrow gang. Just her and Boebert and maybe Gaetz. I can't imagine that a lot of people are going to be jumping into anything with her.
No, I mean, like, again, as we dig into the members of Congress, anyone you think is corrupt, I would assume that they are. So, like, when it comes to Matt Gaetz, he's not. There's no way that he can actually overcome this crisis because it's going to be years in the making. And there's no way that Republican leadership would want someone like that hanging around and muddying the waters and not making them be able to reset as a party. But, you know, they're kind of, he said that he didn't do it. He didn't do what? He didn't do which crime? He didn't do which of the dozens of potential crimes, felonies that he's facing. Like, I don't think that people understand that I have focused on the Russia scandal for 5 years and I am still working on it. I am still pressuring. I will never stop. Same thing with seditionists, same thing with everybody else. And I can tell you, the resistance as we go into phase two and localizing it now, we are more heated up, more organized, and more energized than we have ever have been. We're bigger than we've ever been. And so I feel bad for them that they're this pathetic, that they need to talk like this, and they need to be the anti-everything, even anti-humanity. If you're anti-vaccine, you're pro-death. If you're anti-mask, you're pro-death. You're pro-spreading the virus. You're pro-shutting America down. So it's America last. It's not America first. And I know that that's exactly what kind of catchphrase that they're going to say. But like America last, they don't stand for America. It's an example of what un-American is.
Yeah, well, they're in this reinvention stage. And as I started off with, you know, this is the party of everything that they have brought us is literally killing us. The party of guns. The party of deregulation, the party of tax cuts for the wealthy. You go down the list, everything that they've advocated for, smaller, less intrusive, ineffective government, look what it's got us, 560,000 people dead. Everything that they've stood for has backfired, has failed, and has harmed our country. No wonder they're looking for an off-ramp. And now they claim to be the party of the working class. And I'm like, please, you have done enough damage to the working class already. Please stay away.
Yeah, it's just going to get worse from here. There's no way out for them. They have to stay the course with this. There's no resetting. That's why, again, I'll say that Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and Mitt Romney will take over the Republican Party, or there will be no Republican Party. And that's where they're headed right now. Now, in the state level, it's a confusing conundrum because there's a lot of state reps that are Republicans. If they're in leadership or in the majority, they're working on these big lie bills right now. And we have to actually confront every single one of them, like every single one of them, because all they're going to do is try and chip away from our rights because they can't win elections anymore because their ideas are terrible and people don't agree with them. Like, who in their right mind, if people looked at their bank account or how they paid their bills in the last month or whatever, and then maybe in a year from now, when they look at this stuff, what do you think they're going to think when it's like, I voted against that money in your bank account. I voted against that money going to your boss so that you can get paid a salary or you can get paid hourly wages. Like, it just doesn't make any sense because it's right and wrong. It's not Republican versus Democrat. It is very cut and narrow. You're actually doing good for humanity by supporting the use of masks and vaccinations, or you're evil. Like, it really is, the divide is crazy. But there's two sides to this, and it's the right side, which is, you know, our side, and then there's the wrong side. They're just wrong, and they're hurting people. They've been killing people. There are 560,000 people dead because of them, and I'd say a majority of them are dead because of them. And you know, we'll be able to prove that via epidemiologists and also via studies that are being done. And they've already proved that hundreds of thousands of them were preventable. Yeah. We need to hold them accountable.
But I've got some cereal box epidemiologist friends who they say it's all a hoax, and that those people didn't really die of COVID. They died of something else.
Sure. Okay. Prove it. And that's
they got their Kellogg's degree, man. Came right out of the box.
Well, we've got the numbers. Do you? You see what I'm saying? Like, do you have the numbers? Not you, but you know, and they don't, because it doesn't exist, because we're right. And again, they're wrong. There's truth, and then there's falsehoods, there's lies, you know? And that's what, we have to make sure that we metaphorically beat this into the ground to make sure that they can't. This is why we call out every lie, because they spin out of control, and then you wind up with the former guy in office. We have to stop this before it progresses. So, you know, we're gonna face some challenges, and yeah, obviously we led the charge to get Marge off her committees. We're going to do the same with Lauren Boebert. We have no option. Again, they're forcing our hand with this. I'm not trying to remove anybody from anything. I'm not trying to have any repercussions for them. They canceled themselves.
No.
They're the people doing the terrible things. We are just holding them accountable. This is our accountability culture. So if you want to call it cancel culture, go ahead. Then sure, you're freaking canceled, and that's you shouldn't have done the terrible things that you did. There's a reason behind it. If you were canceled, you deserved it.
One of the things that caught my attention yesterday was the fact that the two ladies you've spoke of, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert of Colorado, the only two votes against a bone marrow donor program that. I'm trying to figure out the justification. They seem to have come back with, well, I guess no one read it, according to Marjorie Taylor Greene, I guess. I guess that's what they've stuck with. Nobody read it, which is why they were the lone two to try and hold this up.
I think they were misled by their staff or an advisor that said, oh, this has to do with, you know, the womb. This has to do with, like, it's totally misdirection. And then they probably bought it. And they just read the top line and they're like, we'll go against it. And then they maybe talk to each other and like, yeah, we're going to take a stand. And then they realize, oh, this is actually for the good of humanity and saving children. And it's just like, again, it's to be the anti. And it's like, stand for something good, not just nothing. And if, when you stand for something, you know, it doesn't have to be anti. Like today, I agreed with Matt Gaetz on something. He was talking about marijuana legalization for veterans and how they should be able to get prescriptions for it. I fully support that. Sure. He fully supports that. He also tweeted out about making sure that weed companies can access financial, like banks and things like that, so that he can be more formal. I agree with that. I still think that he's an awful, terrible person who's committed a lot of crimes and belongs in prison for it. He sure as heck shouldn't be in Congress. So, I mean, long story short, it's, I think that when it comes to bills like this, I think the people who didn't read it were Boebert and Marge.
Yeah, it's generally the one when they're pointing their fingers and they got the three fingers pointing back at them. Generally the excuse.
Exactly. But,
you know, a moment ago you said, you know, something about, you know, you woke up and you know, every, you know, all gun stories. And, you know, this has been, you know, we've had 45 mass shootings in the last 30 days. In fact, so many that, you know, politicians aren't even saying thoughts and prayers anymore. They're just going by so fast. They go, oh, there's another day. Move along, next. And I'm like, you know, at this moment, can we not at least say, this is too much? Stop shooting us, please. I shouldn't have to carry a gun or look for an exit every time I go out of the house.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good idea would be a full reset. It's not about taking people's guns, but it's about buyback programs. It's about examining what's worked in other countries, because we're the worst. We're not the best country because we have guns.
No, see, I'm of the mindset we've gone too far with a lot of the gun stuff. You know, I just had a long conversation today about the Stand Your Ground laws, which are insane to me. I don't get it, Scott. And you know, I don't get that I come up to you and I start harassing you, I hit you, then you start beating me and I get to shoot you because now I'm afraid for my life. I don't get how that works. When I was a kid, you started a fight, you got your butt whipped. Everyone said, you deserved it. Right. You got your butt whipped. Don't do it again. And what did you do? You didn't do it again. Right. Now we're in a country where I can literally start a fight with you. And if I think you're going to harm me, I can shoot you.
Yeah, or if they think you have a gun, or if you're black, like it really, the crazy thing, and I think I've said this before, the rare times that I've actually been pulled over by police, I've complained immediately. I've asked for their badge number. I've asked for their sergeant or whoever's in charge, because I want to know why they're pulling me over. I've gotten out of the car without their request before. And I've said, what the, and I was cussing. I was mad because I was like, why are you pulling me? Oh, sir, we were looking for somebody else, sir. We're good. And I'm just like, yeah. But like, that is the demeanor that a white dude would have. Like we, like at least me. And it's just like I'll get the floor, the Fraternal Order of Police stickers and be a donor to that and things. Like, it's just like I never recognized how good we had it, how privileged we had it. And just, you know, having a friend of mine in the car while I had an altercation, as in just talking back and forth with a police officer who was thinking that we were speeding because we were seven over, but then he saw me and acted differently. And my friend sitting there with his hands up right there on the dash. And I'm just like fiddling around, messing with stuff, and he is having a panic attack. You know, it's just, I never will understand that. And we've talked about that with Kari as
well. You're a little more privileged than I am. I'm never fiddling with anything. You know, I'll get a little look, you know, we grew up in different areas. You know, and this, you know, so when I heard this guy this morning talking about evidently he'd heard a black guy say that he would rather he's more of afraid of a cop knocking on his door than he is someone breaking into his house. I understand that, because I grew up in a neighborhood where you didn't want the police around because they only caused more trouble. But when the criminals came, they got what they wanted, they moved out. This guy just could not fathom, I guess, it not out of his gated community long enough to see the rest of the world, that's how relations are, especially in high poverty minority areas.
Yeah, and I've worked in places like Mechanicsville, which is outside of Atlanta, you know, delivering Christmas presents and stuff. And we had to have people with assault weapons on them to, because they were so scared. It just, like, there's the level of crazy that we allow the love and kind of sexy,
Rambo,
it's cool if you have a gun kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it really, it's not. You actually are more powerful without one. And I think people need to recognize that the most powerful people in history haven't been the people with the weapons. It's been the people with the voices. It's been the people with the pens. And so I think that if you really want to make change, it's not about owning a weapon. I don't need a toy. I don't need to play cosplay or whatever, play dress up as if I'm a member of the military, like a Proud Boy or an Oath Keeper, you know, because I don't live in a fantasy land. If you want to go play dress up or whatever, go join the military.
Yep. No, we got a place for you to carry a gun. Sure. It's in a well-regulated militia.
Sure. If you make it, I doubt they would. I don't know if you can really do much training from your mom's basement, but we'll see.
I did want to get your thoughts on, before we wrap up, I wanted to get your thoughts on Representative Cawthorn's proposal to make Trump's rusted border wall a monument. I'm curious, thoughts on the Trump monument? Because weren't we saying that about that? If he gets the wall, that will be his monument? Now this guy is, oh, I discovered something. I'm Magellan.
I mean, if we had the extra cash laying around, like, we should do it and then demolish it. I mean, but that's what I'm like. It just, at some point we should rip parts of the wall down because they're actually affecting the environment negatively. But it's like, that's so stupid. There's people dying and desperate. It's got to go to Americans first. You want to be America first, prove it. You know, you have to put your money where your mouth is. Yep. And they didn't. They failed. See,
I want to amend Representative Cawthorn's bill. I say we just take some Dr. Seuss books, put it right between the slats, and that will be Trump's presidential library.
Yeah, I mean, bang. I think it would be, again, a monument for a relic of division is just asinine. It makes no sense, but which makes all sense. It coming from Cawthorn.
It is exactly who they are.
He's one of the worst members of Congress by far. He's terrible if you've read his reports on harassing women.
Yeah, he's crazy. And just horrible, horrible stuff. But Scott, I appreciate the time. As always, good stuff, my friend. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
See you next week. Thanks, all.
Alrighty, our good friend Scott Dworkin. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.